Ayo, you're listening to The Drive Home. I'm Dale, your host, and this is The Drive Home. Thanks for listening. All right, so I just want to get right into it today. I just want to appreciate those that have tuned in to listen. We are over 1,000 plays total, so that's pretty sweet. I can tell you, as someone who's not been consistent with podcasts and all of that, I am definitely still trying to figure out what exactly it is that I want to talk about and why. And I don't know if I have landed on that spot yet, but here's something interesting. So, you know, there's always a push for us to buy local because we want to support our local businesses and local community. And I absolutely am all for that. I agree with that. Totally. But at the same time, and I don't know if you've experienced this or not, but I have, is that a lot of these businesses, it's a rarity, in fact, that you'll find a business that is also supporting a local business. So, for example, I'll give you my first world real life example. This morning, I woke up and realized that we were out of coffee. And so I went to the store, and I went to the big box store because I only had a short period of time and I didn't have time to try to figure out locally where there was coffee. So I live in a small town, and of course that leaves me with the main choice, which is Walmart. So I go into Walmart and I look at the coffee selection, and I don't know about you, but I have noticed that the products that are on the shelves are becoming less. There used to be tons of different coffee brands available, and now there's only a few. Not only is there only a few, but the packages that the coffee comes in are actually smaller. But the price is actually more. And so I'm noticing all of this, and the coffee that I like Pete's coffee if I was going to go with a commercial brand. And so I looked at the Pete's coffee. Now I wouldn't say I'm a coffee snob because I don't have a burr grinder. And I think once I get a burr grinder, I will now enter coffee snobdom. But at this point, I'm not a coffee snob, but I do like a good cup of coffee if I'm going to make a cup of coffee. If I have the means to, then I will do what I can to have a good cup of coffee. And so I like to have whole bean coffee because I do have a grinder. It's a normal grinder. But I like that because I can portion out the grounds. I can grind for my regular drip coffee, and then I can grind for my espresso machine. And so I like to have whole bean coffee. I could not find one package on the shelf that was whole bean coffee. Everything was already ground. And if you know anything about coffee, if it's in the bag and it's on a shelf and it's ground, it's not going to be that fresh. And if you like good coffee, then you know you want to have fresh coffee. So I made the decision, even though I had a short bit of time because I'm in grad school and I was stepping out to get a coffee to be able to get back online and be a little awake for the last day of this intensive that I've been a part of. Shout out to Liberty University, class 512. And so I did about face, and I did the unthinkable. I walked out of the store. Coincidentally enough, I had a cup of coffee in my hand because before I went to the store, I stopped at the local a gas station and got a cup of coffee. But I wanted to have coffee at home, not, you know, have to leave and go back and get more coffee. So anyways, I walk out of the store and I did not buy any coffee. Fast forward, I go through my class, I'm now released, and my Keurig machine out in my garage where I've been doing some wood carving stuff. And that my family was so generous to make me a man cave, which I don't know how often that happens where the family makes the man cave, but I'm very blessed to have one. And so the Keurig died, and now I have, coincidentally enough, Pete's K-cups and no Keurig. And I thought, oh, I can just pull back the foil and and use that coffee, which I totally would if that was the case. If we were in stinking apocalypse times or something, then I would do that, you know. And I get in that mind frame, like, that it's like the apocalypse. Like this morning, I was gonna get a donut at the gas station, and it was like $1.60 for a donut. I was like, holy crap, that's crazy expensive. And so this whole local thing has kind of been the theme today. And so then I wound up going to at a local donut shop, which I never stop at. And they had a donut that I thought looked good. It was a Long John with the chocolate icing on top and the cream filling inside. And it was a good sized donut. It wasn't like small, you know, they weren't cutting corners. And it was $2. Now, I don't know where you're at in the world, where you're listening, and how much a donut is, and if you've even had a donut before. Maybe some of you have it. I don't know. I hope you all have had a donut. And I could go into quite detail and explain to you what a donut is if you don't know what it is. This thing was, it's a golden pastry. I would say it's probably about 7 inches long and probably, I'd say 2 inches wide. And it is baked, and everything about the donut is sweet. It's just a sweet thing to put in your mouth. The chocolate on top, all of it's homemade, so it's not that like store-bought chocolate taste. It's like a cocoa, you know. And so it was delicious. And then the cream inside was actually real kind of whipped creamy kind of in its consistency, but still had that sweeter cream to it. And they put it in the front, and then they also put it in the back kind of. And so it was delicious. And as I was eating it, I was thinking about how there will become a time when somebody will be born, and because of the condition of our society, they will never have tasted a donut. And so I thought, how would you describe a donut? And that would be the way, I would say, basically, it'd be like eating a cloud, if you could, and with the cream, and that it's sweet on the tongue, but it kind of just disappears in your mouth, and it was just fantastic. So I really enjoyed this $2 donut. Even though I scoffed at the idea of paying $1.60 at the gas station. But now that I'm at a local shop, I'm thinking I'm supporting local. See, there's the theme. So let's just take a break, and we're going to come back. Just a little music break here, and we'll come right back with this theme of local shopping and whether or not you've seen the trend in changing in prices, and also companies, businesses wanting us to be local supporters, but yet not supporting themselves and the businesses around them. We'll be right back. Hey, that was Kevin Sherlith. His album is called Catechism, if you are interested. Really great guy, very down-to-earth, acoustic worship style, along with Jay Coslow singing the backup vocals for that song. So anyways, back to what we were talking about. So here I am, I'm back out again, and I want to get coffee. I want to get a Keurig machine. And of course, a couple of other things that my wife has wanted me to pick up as parts of an errand. And so I go to where I know they do have local coffee. And so I go to this place, they have the local coffee, and it's reasonably priced. It's whole bean, so these are all yeses. These are checks on the board. I'm happy, and I've never had it. I don't know what it's going to taste like. I'm excited about that. And my wife said we needed maple syrup. Now, side note, I grew up, we didn't have a lot of money, and so I didn't even know what maple syrup was until my wife came along and introduced me. The first syrup I ever had, to give you an idea of what I was experiencing as a child, was my mother would take water and sugar and heat it up on the stove. And so whenever I got a pancake, that you didn't know if anything was on it except for how, that it was soaked, because there was no color to it. So it was just like kind of like this soaked pancake. But it's all I knew, and it was delicious. It was fantastic. And it wasn't until I went to a friend's house when I was probably 13, and they had breakfast in the morning, and we had this bottle of syrup, and it was colored, and it had a different consistency. It was a thicker liquid than the water sugar that my mom made. And I don't know if it was Aunt Jemima's or Mrs. Butterworth's or whatever it was. And I had a hard time with it. I almost didn't like it at first because it wasn't the same as what I'd had, you know, when I was a kid, when I was younger. And then my wife, when her and I were starting to date and that, and she, you know, I had regular syrup at that point, and she would not use it because she said maple syrup's the only way to go. It's natural, it's organic, it's real, it comes out of the tree, yada, yada, yada. You can buy it local. And so I tried it, and then she was right. Maple syrup is the way to go. If you have not had maple syrup yet, it's comparing maple syrup to, like, say, Mrs. Butterworth or something like that. Mrs. Butterworth is just jarring to your taste buds. There are chemicals in there, and it is just overpowering. Now, take away all that overpowering, jarring chemical taste out, and think of the sweetness of syrup as itself, and that's what you get with maple syrup. So, there's my maple syrup story. So here I am. She says maple syrup, so I'm going to buy maple syrup. It's a 32-ounce, $23, which to me is insane. Insane. My mother used to make syrup on the stove with water and sugar. So to pay $23 for maple syrup is crazy. She texts me back and says, oh, well, that's not bad. And so I'm trusting my wife because she doesn't have that background like I have, that, I don't know, poor people background or whatever it is. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to buy it. So I asked the people about the coffee, and I asked them about the coffee shop next door at this market house that I went to where I bought the coffee, and I asked them if they carried that coffee next door, and they didn't know. And one lady even said she's never even been to the next door place, which is crazy to me, because how can you support local if you're not supporting local? How can you be a business in one area and not support the businesses around you? So then I go, my son needs something, right? It's another thing, right? So he needs some screws or something for his computer. So I go to a local hardware store, and as I'm in line, what do I see? I see a 32-ounce bottle of maple syrup. Is it the same brand? No, it's not. Now, the brand that I bought at the market house is from my town, in the town I live in Titusville. But the syrup at the hardware store that is in the same town is syrup from another town, not the town that the store is in. Coincidentally, it's also almost, I would say, $10 cheaper, which is crazy. So for cost purposes, I'll definitely be going there, because obviously I'm not going to know the difference between a $23 bottle of maple syrup and a $15 bottle of maple syrup, because I'm used to sugar water. But you would think that the hardware store would support the syrup that's being made in the same town that the hardware store is in. And I don't know why companies don't do that. And then I thought about my friend. She has a company, she has an ice cream company called Sprinkles, and she's opened up a second place. And at the market house that I went to where I bought the coffee, they also have milk from a place called Pot of Gold. And it is made by cows that are local to the area. And it is, you know, non-pasteurized, and it's absolutely delicious. They have chocolate milk. It's insane. It is like the creamiest, but not too sweet. Like, a good chocolate milk has to have a good amount of chocolate taste to it, a good amount of that natural cocoa flavor to it, and not be overpowering. I used to think that Promised Land milk was the best until a local Giant Eagle started carrying it. And then I didn't want to spoil myself, right? Because I'm used to sugar water and powdered milk when I was young. And so I didn't want to buy it all the time. So I didn't. The only time I already had it was on my honeymoon. I went to Kroger's and they had it. So now here I am at Giant Eagle for the powder, you know, the chocolate, the Promised Land milk. Only buying it maybe like once every 3 or 4 months because I don't want to spoil myself. And then guess what? They stopped carrying it. They stopped carrying the milk, which is insane. I can't believe they stopped carrying it. Why? Because I wasn't buying it every month or every week or whatever. It's not there anymore. So anyways, Pot of Gold's milk, local. And so I'm thinking about my friend who has this ice cream company, and I'm thinking, I wonder if she is partnered with a local company, a local business that has dairy, and then not only is she getting the support of those around her, but also she's supporting other businesses around her as well. Those are my few thoughts. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back. I have one more thing, which just has to do with the latest news that we got from Biden and people that have been locked up for marijuana sales and that. And we'll call this episode a done deal. All right. All right, that is Earth Groans off of their debut album. The song is called Allure. Very cool people. Got to meet the lead singer. Really nice guy. Earth Groans. So anyways, we're looking at the situation. You know, Biden reminds me of a story a friend of mine in Uganda told me, that the Ugandan president would... basically, when it came time for election, he would go around to the villages, and even though there were so many things that were not being taken care of, what they would do is they would bring bags of sugar and soap to wash clothes, and that was to get people's minds off of what's going on around them, their condition that they're living in, the lack of medical care, the roads that are not being taken care of, and a list of issues. But since they had the bag of sugar and they had the soap, then it put it into their mind something good, and so they wanted to associate that with those that were in positions of power. And so that gets me thinking about this midterm election. And, you know, we just saw that Biden is basically letting a bunch of people that have been locked up for marijuana charges free, which makes sense when we're in a country where it's predominantly legal. It doesn't make sense to somebody to be sitting there for 10 or 12 years for a joint when people are smoking up left and right everywhere you go. I get that. One thought I had was that these guys or girls, whoever, that are locked up right now, when they get out, they're going to be pretty disappointed when they realize how much it's going to cost. Like a pack of like a fudge round from Little Debbie is like $1.50 now, when it used to be 50 cents. That's going to be a bummer. But speaking of the price and the cost, that kind of ties into the thought I had originally with this episode, is that everything is going up in price, but it's going up gradually, just like if you're familiar with the whole psychology of the frog in the boiling water, that if you take a frog and stick it in a pot of boiling water, it's going to immediately jump out. It's going to notice the danger. But if you put that frog in tepid water, and basically you sit it on the stove, but it doesn't know that it's a stove, and it doesn't know that it's getting warmer over time. That frog is going to sit in that water, and it's going to become peaceful. And as you slowly increase the heat and slowly heat up the water, that frog's not going to notice the changes that are happening around it. And then eventually, that water's going to be enough to boil that frog, and that frog will die because it didn't respond to the changes that are happening around it. And so that is what I am seeing. And I don't know if you're seeing, I don't know if it's just me, but that's what I'm seeing is these, it's not this big, huge thing, you know, where, you know, big headlines like Biden says about Putin, whatever, saying about he's gonna nuke Ukraine, and we're supposed to be like, oh no, that's horrible. It's not those big headlines that are the dangerous ones. It's the ones that aren't being said. It's always the things that are not being said. And so you're going to the store, you're spending more money than you did before, and you're getting less product. And there's less products that are being available, and yet we're all just doing it day by day. And that's part of it. It's not the big change. It's not the blast of heat into the water. It's the slow increase of temperature that is slowly cooking us alive. So that being said, I know it's kind of a bleak ending, but you remember that, you know, for those of us that know that this is not our home, then eventually this place is going to get heated up to the point where it's all going to burn. And it doesn't matter if you're in the pot of water or not. And so, as always, I thank you for listening, and I hope you know where you're going on the drive home.